word of welcome, or maybe you'd rather have a cold word of welcome this morning. Such a beautiful morning. We welcome each and every one to the Savior's, or to the Lord's house in the Savior's name. We pray that the Lord will bless us as we're here this morning, and even here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We do welcome those that are visiting as well, the Reverend Mrs. Mercer, and also some others. And also we have a special visitor, Robbie's nephew over from Scotland. We welcome Stephen here to our church this morning as well. To those that are online as well, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. Pray the Lord will bless you as you're tuning in to our broadcast this morning. Do remember our evening service at 7 p.m. And do, of course, remember the season of prayer beforehand at 6:30. And God willing, we'll be here to conduct that service this evening. And we do invite and encourage each one to make that effort to come again this evening and to be found here in the Lord's house. We're setting aside our studies in the book of Acts just for this Sunday, and probably for the first Sunday back after our holidays as well. I want to look at the subject this evening, the greatest sword, the greatest sword. So do make that effort to be here and invite and encourage others to come along as well. The prayer meeting and the Bible study this Wednesday evening is at 8 p.m. And we invite and encourage each and every one, young and old alike, to come along and to study God's Word and to come around the throne of grace in prayer. Our brother Ronnie McLean from our Oma congregation will be conducting that service on Wednesday evening. And as I said, we invite all to come and to be here in God's house. Last Monday evening when we had our prayer meeting, not only did we have young and old, but we also had the animals starting to come and to join us because a bird flew in and joined in the prayer meeting as well for a season of time. And we had to postpone the start of it until we got the bird back out. But we invite all to come to those services and to come around the throne of grace and to pray for the Lord's blessing upon the meetings. Then the services next Sunday at the regular times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. And remember, of course, the seasons of prayer before both services. And in the will of the Lord, Mr. Stephen Greer, finishing his second year in the Bible College, will be along to conduct both of those meetings. After today, I'll be on holiday for the next number of weeks. And can we mention that if there are any emergencies, then please do contact one of the members of session and they'll be able to help you from there. Can we mention to the congregation that donations in lieu of flowers for our late sister, Ray Kyle, came to a total of £560. And it was the wish of Robbie and of the family circle that this money be distributed between both the children's and the youth work of our church. And so we'd like to thank this morning Robbie and also the Kyle family for their desire even to support the works through the passing of our late sister. And as I said, that total of £560 will be split between both the youth and the children's work. We're going to commence now our worship, and it is the hymn 33 that we turn to this morning to commence our time together. The hymn 33, the page is 188. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. The hymn 33 on the page 188, and we'll stand after the introduction, please. Let's still ourselves in God's presence. Come around the throne of grace this morning. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We acknowledge, O God, this day that we are coming before a thrice holy God of heaven and of earth. We thank and we praise Thee this day, O God, that Thou art God, and beside Thee there is none else. We thank Thee this day for the glorious truth that is burning within our hearts, the joy that we have because of the specialness of this day. We thank and praise Thee for the glorious resurrection of our Savior. We think of that morning, and what a morning it was, as that stone was rolled away, and as Christ came forth to show the world that He was alive, and indeed alive forevermore. We thank and praise Thee this day that death could not hold Him, and the grave could not hold Him, but rather He is victorious, and He is the great King of heaven and of earth. And we come rejoicing this day to know that He is our Savior, to know, O God, that He is our friend. He is the One who is the Bishop of our souls. We thank and praise Thee this day for the glorious truth that we live in Christ. And because He lives, we live in Him. And because He lives, we have nothing to fear, whether it be in life or in death, because Christ is alive. And Father, we bow before Thee this morning with praise and with thankfulness in our hearts. We rejoice this day in the cross work of Christ. We rejoice in the sin that was laid upon Him. And we thank and praise Thee that it was the sin of many. It was, O God, the sin of each and every one in whom He had chosen and gathered and will gather unto Himself. And we thank Thee for the perfect sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. We thank Thee, O God, for the work that He accomplished. We thank Thee for the atonement that was made, even with the shedding of His blood. We thank Thee this day for the appeasement of God's wrath, that the wrath of God is now turned away, and it is finished completely. And we glory in this day. We rejoice in this, that our Savior accomplished it all, even there upon the cross on our behalf. We thank Thee this day for sins forgiven. We thank Thee for peace with God. We thank Thee for the adoption into the family of God. We thank Thee this day that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And the children of the Lord have the right to shout and to sing, for the way is growing bright, and our souls are on the wing. We are going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Father, may we come this day with hearts that are rejoicing, even to this house, and may it be our desire to worship, to praise, to lift up our voices, to lift up our hearts unto Thee in praise and thanksgiving for all that the Lord has done. We thank Thee for the faithfulness of God, even in another week that has gone into eternity. We thank Thee for watching over us and for supplying and meeting each and every one of our needs. We thank Thee, O God, for this another Lord's Day and for bringing us safely to Thy house. We thank Thee, O God, for even the blessings that we've already received this morning. Thou hast been faithful afresh to us. We raise our Ebenezers and we thank Thee and we praise Thee for it. And Father, we ask Thee now, even for this time that we will spend in Thy house together, that Thou wilt draw near to us, that Thou wilt presence Thyself amongst us, that Thou wilt protect us round about. And Father, that this will be a special time in Thy house, a special time of worship and of praise, a special time when the Lord draws near, a special time when the Spirit applies the Word even to each and to every heart. Father, Thou knowest each one that is before us. Thou knowest the need of every heart. Thou knowest those, O God, that are still out of Christ without a Savior. Father, we pray specially for them, that Thou wilt have mercy upon them, that Thou wilt draw them unto Thyself. Remember those that have grown cold. O Father, we pray for that fresh reviving even of the heart, the fresh stirring and the warming of the heart, that Thou wilt burn up the dross and the chaff within us, that Thou, O God, wilt take away the apathy and the coldness even towards Thee and towards Thy Word. And Father, that Thou wilt burn brightly within us once again, that Thy Word will have power even, O God, as it comes to our hearts, that we will seek Thee, and we, O God, that we will find Thee even this day in this house. Lord, remember every aspect, we pray thee. Remember every family. Remember, O God, every individual that is before us. We pray for them. We spread their needs before thee afresh. We ask thee, O God, that thou wilt undertake, that thou wilt, O God, meet them at the very point of their need, whatever it be, whether it be physical, spiritual, or mental. O God, that thou wilt undertake for every family. Thou knowest those with burdens of loved ones. Thou knowest those with burdens of health. O Father, we ask thee this day that they will know what it is to cast all of their burdens upon thee, knowing that thou dost care for them. Remember our churches as a whole. Remember this denomination, O God. We pray for the blessing of God to be upon it. We pray for every minister this day, every student and every lay preacher who will handle thy word. Remember them, O God. Bless them and fill them with thy Holy Spirit. Give them, O God, the joy of pointing souls to thee, even for salvation. Remember our ministers on holiday at this time as well. Refresh them, and, O God, revive them, even in their own hearts. May they know the nearness and the blessing of Almighty God upon them. And even as they return to their works, may they know that power of the Holy Ghost even resting upon them. Father, bless in these days. Bless our land. O God, have mercy upon it. Turn the tide once again. Cause thy face to shine even upon this land. May the fear of God descend upon it. May there be that stirring in the mulberry trees. May there be that window of heaven being opened, and the blessing, the showers of God, falling down upon this dry and thirsty land. O Father, thou art able, and even, O God, we turn to thee, and we pray that it will be thy will, even soon, to work a great work in our land, to cause a great turning even to thee once again, a great turning away from sin, and a great turning even to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou art able, and we believe in thee. Our trust is in thee this day, for thou art the one who has the words of truth. Hear and answer our prayers. Be near to us, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 488. We'll sing together. 488. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. 488, we'll stand together again as we sing, please.
I will ever love and trust him.
Amen. We come this morning to Psalm 147. Mentioned last week, these final five psalms are known as the praise psalms or the Hallel psalms. Each of them begins and finishes with the same words, praise ye the Lord, or in the original, hallelujah. And certainly there's much to be praising the Lord, even in these verses together. The Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, he bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh the grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse, he taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. 334. We'll sing together the hymn 334. It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. Remain seated for the first two verses, and then we'll stand together for the final one, please. invite you to open your Bible again in the book of Ruth, in the chapter 3. The book of Ruth in the chapter number 3. Read again the opening verses of the chapter, beginning at the verse 1 and reading down to the end of verse 6. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 1. Word of God says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee. Put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down onto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her." Amen. We're keeping the same title as last week, preparing to meet the Lord. Preparing to meet the Lord. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence. Ask the Lord even to come and to speak to every heart, to speak to your heart, speak to my heart even as I preach, that we will know the hand of the Lord upon us this morning. Father in heaven, we come to thee at this juncture, even in the meeting. We thank thee for help given thus far in this service. We thank thee for thy presence, the opportunity, O God, even to sing praise together. We thank thee for the reading of thy precious word. What a joy it is to have the book open before us. What a joy it is to read it and to hear it being read. And Father, even now as we come to consider these verses once again, we pray for thy blessing. We pray for the help of the Holy Ghost, that thou wilt empty me of self and of sin, that thou wilt fill me, that thou wilt use me, O God, to proclaim thy word, not the thoughts of man, but what thou wouldst have us to say. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt speak to each and every heart individually this day, that there will be that word in season. Hear and answer our prayers for the glory of the one at thy right hand. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's said that on the Niagara River, there is a small mound which is known as Redemption Point. And if a swimmer or if a boat was to go beyond that Redemption Point, then they are carried over the falls and they are indeed primarily lost. Ruth is certainly at her redemption point in her life. The harvest is ended, the summer is over, and now it is time for her to find her rest, even as Naomi speaks to her about in the opening verse of the chapter. Such is her situation that she needs a kinsman redeemer. She needs one to step into her life, one to love her, one to take her on to himself, one to meet her every need. Certainly Boaz is the perfect one. Yea, in Naomi's eyes, he is the only one. Whenever it comes to it, she tells and Ruth her desire, I want you to find rest. I want you to have one to hold you, one to keep you, one to love you, one to care for you. And the very next verse, she immediately says, and what about Boaz? It's not even a choice of one or the other. It's one and one only, Boaz. It's Naomi's desire for Ruth that she would go to Boaz and that she would be with him. Naomi knows exactly where he will be. Naomi knows exactly when he will be there. And Ruth's instruction is, go there to that place at that specific time. What a joy it is to know where Christ is. What a joy it is to know today that I can say to you, if you're seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, I know exactly where he is. He is here. Because he has promised where the twos and the threes gather together, that he will be in the midst. He has promised that his presence will be here in the house when his people gather together to worship and to praise him. Let me say it at the outset, it is my desire, it is my prayer, that if you have never met with Christ, that even today that you would meet with him, even in our time together. You know, the reality is this may be your redemption point today. This may be the point that if you pass today without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no coming back for you. There is no returning. There is no even coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in the future. The Spirit will only strive for a certain season, and your numbers are a set time. Maybe today this is your redemption point. Let me plead with you then, don't miss Christ. We're not simply here to speak about Ruth and Boaz today. We're here to bring you afresh to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the great love that he has, the great mercy and compassion that he can show. Last week we began to look at Ruth's preparations to be united with Boaz. We noted those three things in her appearance that had to change so that she was acceptable, so that she was ready to be united with Boaz. She had to wash, she had to change her apparel, and she had to anoint herself. Each one, of course, of those actions has a spiritual parallel. For any of us to be united with Christ, there must first be the cleansing in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. There must be the washing of the filth and the dirt of sin from us. The cleansing of us in the precious blood. There must be the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that sweet fragrance, even to ascend unto the Lord. And then there must be the clothing in righteousness, and the clothing and the garments of salvation. We cannot be with Christ unless all three have been accomplished. But then I want us to move on this morning from her appearance. When you see secondly with me the verse number 4, her approach. Her approach. Tells us in the verse 4, Naomi is speaking, she says, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. You will notice in these verses that Ruth is given a step-by-step guide in exactly what she is to do, both before she approaches Boaz and indeed in the approaching of Boaz itself. Nothing is left to her own choice. Nothing is left to her own desires. Everything is given to her, a step-by-step guide that she must follow, she must obey in order to be brought to Boaz. See, that's certainly the same as salvation. There is a set way to be saved. There is a set way in which you can and you must approach the Lord Jesus. It does not change and it does not depend upon your culture. It does not depend upon how you were brought up or what your understanding of God was as you grew up. There is one way to approach the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one way to be united with Christ. It is not up to your own personal desires of how much time or how much effort you will give. You must approach and you must come the way. You must come through Christ. He is the way, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. He is the door, and it is only through Christ that we can be saved. Your opinions, your personal choices do not matter. Christ has stated how we can be united with him. She is given, in this approach, she is given a certain number of details, again, a certain number of instructions that she must carry out, even as she approaches Boaz. First of all, she is told, thou shalt mark the place. That word for mark, it simply means know. In other words, Naomi is saying to her, you must know exactly where Boaz lies down. You must see it for yourself. You must know exactly under which cloak it is Boaz. Because, of course, after he has winnowed his harvest and after the time of celebration and the time of eating and of drinking, then he goes and he covers himself with a cloak. And Ruth is given the instruction, you must know exactly where to find him. You must know exactly where he is lying and which individual it is that is Boaz. After all, Boaz will be covered with that cloak. After all, it is the night time. It would be very easy to go to the wrong individual. And so the instruction is given to Ruth. Ruth, make sure you know exactly which one is Boaz, and make sure you know exactly where he is, and make sure you know exactly where to go to, and make sure you only go to him. My friend, it is so important to know where to find the Lord. And it is equally important to know where not to find him. You will not find Christ in the world. There are so many individuals today that are running around the things of the world. They are trying the different vices. They are trying the different sins. They are trying the different pleasure crazes. They are seeking and they are saying, oh, we can find Christ in this. We can find Christ in that. My friend, you will not find Christ in the world. Christ himself declared, John 17, verse 16, he says, I am not of the world. That's what he prayed on to his Father, even in that high priestly prayer there before he went to the cross. He declared even there to his Father in that prayer, I am not of the world. And yet individuals today run to the world seeking to find Christ. If you're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're seeking the Son of God, you won't find him in the world, you'll find him in the Word. Because John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And Naomi makes it especially clear unto Ruth, Ruth, mark the place where he is, mark the place where he lies down, so that you go to him and you go only to him. You to get to the Lord Jesus Christ, you must know where to find him. You find him in the scriptures. There's Martin Luther, the reformer, who said, I see nothing in scripture except Christ and him crucified. And so you come to the book of books, you come to the Word of God, you come to the book of Genesis, you'll find Christ. You come to the book of Revelation, you'll still find Christ from the beginning right through to the end. We've mentioned it over the weeks gone past. All of Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, book after book, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this book brings us his love. This book brings us his mercy. This book brings us his compassion. This book brings us his matchless grace, even towards a sinner. Ruth is told, firstly, to mark the place. Then she's told, secondly, in the verse number 4, to go to his feet. It says there in the verse 4, thou shalt go in and uncover his feet. Let me say just at the outset, there is nothing improper or immoral going on here. Whenever individuals, and there are some Christians and even some commentators, when they come to this particular passage and they're looking at what is being said and they're looking at the actions of Ruth, there are some that come to the conclusion that Boaz and Ruth are entering into immoral practice. That is not the case. To understand what is happening here, there has to be the understanding of the culture of that day. You could say that this is a proposal without words. Because when Ruth goes into Boaz and she uncovers his feet, what she is doing is she is presenting herself to Boaz and she is asking him, will you take me to be your wife? Will you take me under your protection? Will you take me under your love and under your care? Because whenever she lifts the cloak and she then sits down beside his feet, by pulling it back and lying down, the question is being presented to him, will you care for me? You see that even in her words in verse 9. Because she answers, whenever he asks the question in verse 9, who art thou? She answers, she says, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid. In other words, cover me, bring me onto yourself. Bring me onto your care. Bring me onto your protection. And the sign is that if he then reaches over and he puts that cloak across to cover her, that is his acceptance. Yes, I will take thee. Yes, I will care for thee. Yes, I will have thee under my security, under my love, under my protection. but she's told by Naomi to go to his feet. It's a place of humility. How true it is, spiritually speaking, that we must humble ourselves before the Lord. James 4, the verse 10, it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." We read that verse even in the psalm this morning of how the Lord lifts up those that are meek. The Lord cares for the meek of heart. The Lord cares for those that are humble. The Lord cares for those that are full of humility. And Ruth is given the instruction by her mother-in-law, when you approach Boaz, you come to his feet. You do not come to his head. You do not come and stand as if you're equal with him. You humble yourselves before the Lord. My friend, in salvation, you must come to his feet. You must come to the foot of the cross in order that you might be saved. You must come to the feet of Christ in repentance and in faith. You must humble yourself before him. Now, I thought of the difference that there is between the saved and the unsaved. Those that will be saved come to the feet of Christ and desire to be there. Just like Mary in Luke 10, verse 39, it tells us she sat at Jesus' feet and she heard his word. There was a humility. Even there in Mary, there was a desire to simply be at his feet. The saved come to the feet of Christ. The unsaved are under the foot of Christ. Because every enemy of God, and that's exactly what the unsaved are, before you're saved, you're at enmity with God. The enemies of God are made his footstool. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25, it says, "He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." That is the destination for everyone who stays in rebellion against the gospel and against the Lord Jesus Christ. They will all be brought under his feet. And he will reign over them. All the enemies are made his footstool. What a difference, therefore, between the saved and the unsaved. The saved are sitting gladly at the feet. The unsaved in their rebellion are placed under his feet. I wonder today, if you're not saved in this meeting, will you humble yourself before the Lord? Are you willing to come to his feet, to come to the foot of the cross? To come to that place in humility that the Lord might lift you up? She was told to mark the place. She was told to go to the feet. Then thirdly, you see also the instruction that she is given. She is told to lay down. Because after uncovering his feet, the instruction is given, "And lay thee down." This particular action is a sign of complete surrender. She is to go into that place. She is not to speak. As she approaches Boaz, she is not to tap him on the shoulder and to present herself or to present her case in any way as to why Boaz should take her, as to why she would be a fitting wife for Boaz to have. She is simply to come in very quietly, very humbly before him, and she is to go to his feet. And she is to lie down. And whatever Boaz decides, in lying down, she is surrendering to his will. She's placing herself completely at his mercy. We've noticed she's done this in the past. You'll remember whenever Boaz came to the field over in chapter 2, whenever he came and he met with her for the first time, she fell on her face before him and she said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes?" Yet again now she is coming in that place of full surrender. She is lying down. She is throwing herself, as it were, at his mercy, at his feet. And whatever he decides, she accepts that's what will happen. My friend, that is a part of salvation. There must be a surrendering of self to the Lord. There must be a surrendering of will. There must be a surrendering of mind. There must be a surrendering of your own desires and of your own lusts and of your own wicked pleasures. There must be a surrendering of everything that you've held dear. There must be a saying, Lord, I hand myself completely to you. I place myself in your hands. I surrender my will for your will. I surrender my desires for your desires. I surrender my heart. And I give it unto you. That's what the Lord says, even in the book of Proverbs. He says, my son, give me thine heart. Surrender your passions. Surrender your affections. Surrender, yea, your entire being. Surrender your all. Come to the Lord. That's what Ruth does. The harvest is past. The summer has ended for Ruth. She is now at that place in redemption point. And she comes to the feet of Boaz. And she lies herself down. And it's a full surrender. Ruth, or Boaz, whatever your desire is, whatever your will is, I accept. I give you myself. You're my Lord. Your will, your word, your command, I obey. My friend, today, that's the only way to approach the Lord. It's the only way to be united with the Lord Jesus Christ is when you surrender your all to Him. You give your all to Him. You give your heart to Him. Now, you think of the commandment, the very first one, I shall have no other gods before me. It's exactly what must happen with every individual, because how many have made gods out of work? How many have made gods out of money? How many have made gods out of pleasures? How many have made gods out of football teams? How many have made gods out of all of the different hobbies? And how many give their all to it? They put all their money into it. They put all of their own activity. They put all of their strength, their being into it. The Lord says, you want to be united with me, everything must come to me. Your heart, your mind, your will, all must be surrendered. There was her appearance, there was her approach. But then the verses 5 and 6, I see her acceptance. Because it says there that she then turns to her mother-in-law. Ruth said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Verse 6, it tells us that she went down onto the floor and she did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Notice both verse 5 and verse 6, that little word all. Every single step, every single instruction, every single part of what Naomi had said, Ruth agrees and accepts it. All. Wasn't the case that she said, well, I'll do so many of those steps. Yes, I'll change. Yes, I'll wash. Yes, I'll put on the fragrance, but I'm not going to his feet. Yes, she might say, well, I'll do all of these things, but I'm not going to just lie down. She says to her mother-in-law, everything. Every single part, every single step that you have given me, every part of it I will do. It's not the case then that she says one thing to her mother-in-law and then does another thing when she gets to the threshing floor, because it tells us not only does she say she'll do it, but then the verse 6 tells us she does it. You know, to many today, that's a major sticking point in salvation. You explain salvation to the sinner. You explain salvation. You tell them exactly what Christ has done on the cross. You tell them exactly what He has accomplished. And you tell them exactly what it means to be a sinner. And you tell them exactly what it means to come to Christ and how to have their sins forgiven. And exactly what they must do in simply turning from sin and turning away from it and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for so many unsaved today, there's maybe one, maybe two sticking points somewhere along the line. And they'll say, yes, I accept that part, but I'm not doing that part. Yes, I'll take all of that you've said, and I agree with so much of it, but there's maybe just one wee point I'm not so sure on. I'll not hold to that point. Wasn't the gospel a stumbling block to the Jew? Wasn't it foolishness to the Greek? To some it just seems so simplistic. To some it just seems, you know, how could it be this simple? How could it simply be that all you have to do is turn away from your sin and reject your sin and just ask the Lord to save you? How is it possible that that is all that is needed for salvation? Surely there has to be more to it. To others, it's too far-fetched. To some people, it's a case of how could one man dying 2,000 years ago, how could that death be enough for me? How could it be possible that that man hanging upon the cross is all that's needed for my sins now, today? Too simplistic. For others, again, it's a case they want a greater involvement in their salvation. They want to be part of it. They want to do something to add to it. They want to do something to say, yes, the Lord did this for me and I've done this for him. You know, Ruth could have believed and Ruth could have acted like that. Ruth could have said, no, Naomi, I want to be with Boaz, yes, but I'll go and I'll tell him, I'll explain to him, I'll present my case of how it would be so wonderful to have me as his wife. I'll go and tell him exactly how great I would be, how kind, how I would do everything for him. I'll just go and tell him how hardworking I've been. I'll go and remind Boaz that I've been there from the very start of the harvest and I stayed from the morning right through the afternoon, right to the evening, every single day of his harvest. I'll just tell him how hard-working I've been and how loyal I've been. Surely if I just jog his memory of how good a worker I was in that field, surely that's enough. Boaz will say, yes, I need you. Surely he'll accept me on that basis. But Naomi didn't tell her to do that. Naomi never told her once, go and tell Boaz and remind him how strong a worker and how able a person you were. Naomi tells her, go wash yourself, get dressed, and just simply go and sit at his feet. And whatever Boaz says, accept it. You see, my friend, salvation is not of works. Never once has anybody been saved because of what they have done. There's not that one individual you'll ever meet in heaven if you're saved that can say, I am here today because I was so faithful in my activities and so faithful in my giving and so faithful in all of my invitations handed out and so faithful in my attendance to the house of the Lord. That's why I'm in heaven today. There's not one will ever be in heaven because of works. You're saved by grace. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, Ruth accepted what Naomi had said. She followed the directions that Naomi gave her. Every one of them. She went immediately and washed. She put on that fragrance. She put on the clothing. She changed from her everyday clothes of mourning. She put on that special dress, as it were, in the wardrobe. She attired herself appropriately. And she went to the place where Boaz was in the threshing floor. She marked the place where he was. And she went to him and to him only. She uncovered his feet. She just lay down there. Everything that Naomi had said, Ruth did. Now I wonder today, I'm not going to ask you the question, will you accept what I've said? I'm going to ask you the question, will you accept what the Lord has said? Because do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ's first sermon was in the gospel? Repent and believe the gospel. That was Christ's very first sermon. As he began to preach, he said, repent. In other words, turn from your sin. Believe the gospel. Believe on that death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Believe in the shedding of the blood, that it's the only way of remission of sins. Believe in the resurrection from the dead, that he is alive. Believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Not do it another way, not go another way, not try another work. Not tell the Lord you've done so much already for him. No, just simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's the only way to be saved. It's the only way to be united with Christ. Ruth accepted it. Ruth listened to the counsel of her mother-in-law. She listened to all of the instructions. She listened to everything her mother-in-law said. And she says, yes, what you've said, that's what I'll do. She desired to be with Christ, or with Boaz. She desired that union. She went the way that she was instructed. Wonder today if you have a desire to be with Christ. Wonder today if you have that desire to be united with him. My friend, you must come the way of the cross. You must come in repentance and faith to the feet of Jesus. Surrender your all to him. That's the only way you can be united with him. That's the only way that you and Christ can be together. Repent. Believe the gospel. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee for revealing, even in thy precious word, the way of salvation. We thank thee that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We thank thee, O God, that he is the door. And we do rejoice that there is one way, and only one way of salvation. And it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that it is nothing in and of ourselves. We cannot save ourselves, O God, we acknowledge that. Salvation is of the Lord. We thank thee for the grace of God. We thank thee for the saving grace. O God, that thou dost and thou art able to cleanse us from all sin, to wash us in the precious blood of Christ. And Father, we do pray that if there be one in our gathering today, still out of Christ without a Savior, that thou wilt have mercy upon them. Thou wilt save their precious souls, that they will come, even this day, in humbleness, O God, to the feet of Christ, and be saved forevermore. Separate us now with thy blessing upon us. Take us to our homes in safety. In Jesus' name, amen.